Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember the fist fights I've had.
Well, very few fights. I mean, this is also revealing you as a phony. Very few fights involve striking someone with a fist. Like, think about the last fight you were in. You try everything. You mean you
well,
grab...
Well, thank God I haven't been in one in a while.
Yeah, but you grab the neck, you try and kick them in the nuts, you do whatever you can. But
Fourth grade, Tom Pierce and Steven Jackson beat the living hell out of me.
Well, what'd you do? Do you deserve it?
Yeah, they were just—they just decided I was a bad guy. I was a scrawny little kid, had glasses.
That ain't right.
Wearing like silk shirts, and I.
Well,
just,
if you're wearing a silk shirt, I would have punched you.
So. That was the era of silk shirts.
There was no era of silk shirts.
Oh yeah, no, late 70s disco. Everybody's wearing a silk shirt.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other one.
I take it back. I support them in that fight.
The other one was when I was at Bowling Green when I saw my best friend Paul Craycraft get knocked out, and I ran right into the fight to defend him and immediately got knocked out as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you were overmatched.
I was completely overmatched.
Yeah.
So that's by the way, what the Lakers had been until the last couple of games, overmatched.
Well, what's interesting is they appear to have found something with this small lineup. LeBron has become unguardable. If you look at his numbers over the past six games, they are stunning. Points, rebounds, assists, shooting percentage. The other night, Mace, 43 points, no turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just – it. And the problem is, if you play LeBron at the five, the other team can't guard him with a big. He's too quick. And if you guard him with a small guy, he'll just post you up.
Sure.
Now, the trade-off is – the other team's big guys can really have a field day. Last night, the Lakers were doubled up 56-28 offensive or total rebounds. So if you're going to, but they won. So it's this weird thing that I want to see how it's going to go against a good team. Like, for example, the three out of the four that they've won, the one they lost was against a good team, Memphis, and they had it. But they let Ja Morant go off.
And last night, to be fair, I mean, Minnesota didn't have D'Angelo Russell or Karl Anthony Towns, who would have been a handful for LeBron.
And was when we played him 16 days ago. Karl Anthony Towns was the best player in the game. So let's see what happens when they play. Now, they play Atlanta on Friday.
They're pretty good.
Well, except that they're having a bad year. They're a good team having a bad year. A
couple games under 500.
Right. And then Memphis comes back on Sunday.
And Memphis has been really good.
Great. And Ja Morant is maybe first-team All-NBA. Matter of fact, let me ask you guys about that. So if you had to pick right now, we're coming up on halfway through the season. Steph Curry is one of the first-team All-NBA guards.
Yes, no question.
Can you give the other one to Ja Morant, or do you have to give it to one of the guys on Phoenix? Devin Booker or Chris Paul?
Devin Booker or Chris Paul.
I might give it to Ja. I mean, I think
I'm going to give it to Ja also.
I think he's been that good. By the way, great. If you're looking for somebody to go watch play, I don't know if there are tickets still available on Sunday at the newly named Crypto.com Arena, but Ja Morant's worth the price of admission. If you're looking for a game to go to, check out Sunday at Staples. 6:30, Lakers hosting Grizzlies. You get to see Ja Morant. They've played him three times this year. The Lakers played the Grizzlies three times this year. The home team has won all three games. And Ja Morant's played in two of them, and in both games he's gone for 40 points. Both games. So he's averaging 40 a game against the Lakers. He's that good.
Yeah, you can get in for about $77.
We'd be well worth the price of admission to see that dude. And then, you know, you get LeBron and Westbrook and Malik Monk's playing really
LeBron's
well.
LeBron's just – I mean, LeBron is the Tom Brady of the NBA.
Yeah, and he's doing it – you know, he turned 37 while we were away on the 30th of December. And nobody has ever put up numbers like this at age 37. Not Michael Jordan, not Kobe, not, you know, Kareem, nobody. LeBron is one of a kind.
And they seem to have settled finally on a starting lineup.
Well, but the problem is it's small. So
Yeah, Westbrook, Avery, Bradley, Stanley Johnson, Monk, and LeBron at the five.
And let me circle back on the Stanley Johnson thing we were talking about last segment. Frank Vogel just said something kind of cryptic. He said, he said the Stanley Johnson situation will become clear to everybody over the next couple of days. So I assume that means they're going to find a way to bring him back and not something happened to him and they didn't want him back. I think that he's hinting at Stanley Johnson. And Greg, you found some quirky CBA thing, right?
Yeah, so Bobby Marks tweeted, Wednesday, January 5th is the first day that a team can sign a player to a non-hardship 10-day contract, and the Lakers don't have anybody in protocol anymore, so they can't have a hardship 10-day.
That's, which means they may not have him for tomorrow night.
But they could sign him to a 10-day starting on Wednesday.
On Wednesday,
Or they could take this roster spot they got when they traded Rajon Rondo yesterday. Actually, that trade became official today. Now they have a roster spot, and they can either give it to Stanley Johnson, or who knows, with Rob Pelinka, he might be working on a deal. You know, there may be a trade out there that we don't know about yet. So we'll see what happens.
You know, they looked good last night. I was surprised Minnesota hung around as long as they did, given that they were down a couple guys. But they looked good last night. They looked great against Portland. And you just said maybe they found something. I've seen that expressed. I've seen it's all coming together. I've heard this is the turning point. I've heard all of these phrases this year. And every time we think we got there, we didn't get there.
I wouldn't go as far as saying this is a turning point or that they've got it all together. I think that they're getting better, which is what you want. And I think LeBron is becoming more and more unguardable. But let's see him rattle something like 3 out of 4 against a really good team. So they, you know,
when's their next stretch against really good teams? You putting Atlanta in that category?
No, I wouldn't say Atlanta is really good, but I would say that Memphis is really good.
Okay, so Memphis is the next game.
And that's Sunday, and then they go back out on a short road trip. And you got the Grammy trip coming up, where I think you're going to get a lot of answers. So here's what it looks like after Memphis on Sunday. At Sacramento, at Denver, that's a good test. Utah at crypto.com. Those two games in a row, at Denver, which is a hard place to play.
Yeah, I mean, plus LeBron at the five, Jokic and Gobert.
There you go. I think we'll get some answers there. And then the road trip, they started in Orlando, but then it gets hard. At Miami, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Charlotte, all in a row. And the Miami, Brooklyn, Philly, Charlotte is 4 games in 6 days, all on the road. So that's a real test. This month, you'll get answers to the questions you're asking.
I read something over the break of Zach Lowe talking about Russell Westbrook. I wanted to get your reaction to it.
Okay.
He said, I think it's time to call a spade a spade. Russ is not a superstar, whatever your definition of superstar is. And when I hear the word, what I hear is, could make an all-NBA team this year kind of player. Russ just isn't that player anymore. People pay attention to the turnovers, and I think he's second in the league in turnovers behind Harden. It's not just the turnovers. It's the misses at the rim that are effectively turnovers because he falls over, and it's 5-on-4 jailbreak the other way.
I see the world through Russell Westbrook colored glasses because I'm such a fan of his effort. I tend to focus on what he can do rather than what he can't. The one thing I don't have an answer for and I can't defend him on is the turnovers. So in that regard, Zach is right. I don't understand going 1-on-4. I love the fact that he always attacks. So maybe I have to, you know, going back to this is the life we have chosen, like you talked about at the top of the show. If you choose Westbrook, you know he's going to attack. But do you have to attack 1-on-4? Do you have to try and throw the ball through a super tight window? I find myself saying the same things
about
Russ.
Matthew Stafford.
That I say about Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think –
I disagree with Zach that he isn't a superstar anymore. I've seen him take over games by himself, but the turnovers.
But he's not an all-NBA player.
Probably not this year.
And that's his point. His point is, if you're not an all-NBA player, how can you be a superstar?
Yeah. But he has been, how many years? Like 10 times?
Oh, he was there a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, the other thing is I think that I feel this way about Stafford, as same as I feel about Westbrook. When they're far away and you look at their numbers, you're like, damn, that's impressive. And then when you see them up close, when they're on your team, you're like, damn.
I find that I'd rather have Russ with me than against me, but, man, our fans opinionated on him. Because people know I'm a Westbrook apologist.
Yeah.
So they come at me hard when he plays bad. Like last night he had, I think he had 10 turnovers.
Yes.
And, man, I hear from everybody. Like, how can you defend this guy? He's got 10 turnovers, blah, blah, blah. And they don't mention he had 20 points. They don't mention that the Lakers won. But I can't defend the turnovers. I love the guy's effort.
He is careless with the basketball.
Sure is. I love his effort.
Doesn't finish at the rim very well. Zach is right about that. He misses a lot of layups.
Better than most, but I'll say this. He misses shots he used to make. He used to make those a lot, but he's missing them. But I think, again, talking about – this is another parallel between Stafford and Russ. They both came from places where they had to carry their team. Like Russ was in Washington last year. He basically put that team on his back and got him to the playoffs. He doesn't have to do that here. He's the third best player on our team. He just needs to attack and not turn the ball over. Matthew Stafford is not in Detroit anymore. He doesn't have to make, like, these hero throws all the time. He's got Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham and you know, when he was healthy, Robert Woods. And he's got Sony Michel, and he's got a great defense. You don't necessarily have to make the hero plays, and I think it's in the nature of both Russell Westbrook and Matthew Stafford to try and make the hero plays.
Yeah.
And when they do, the results are disastrous. And let's be honest. Greg mentioned this to me off the air. Turnovers in football are like five times worse than turnovers in basketball.
Oh, yeah, no question. Harder to overcome turnovers in football.
Right. Like Russ last night had 10 turnovers, but the Lakers won the game.
Right.
If Matthew Stafford had 5 turnovers, the Rams would have lost. He had 3. If he would have had 1 or 2 more, that was it. You know, the fact that he's had 6 turnovers in the last 2 weeks and the Rams have won both games is pretty amazing, but it says something about the Rams. They can overcome it because they have a great defense and they got other guys who can make plays. And here's something that I thought was interesting. So you and I are both fans of Les Snead because he goes for it all the time.
Yeah.
What he does is he basically takes all his draft picks and he says, screw it.
Screw it. I'm going to trade him.
I'll trade all of this unproven draft capital for guys that can play now. And so here's where all the draft picks have gone over the last year and a half.
Okay.
They've gone to Matthew Stafford. They've gone to Jalen Ramsey. They've gone to Sony Michel.
Yep. Von Miller.
And all 4 of those guys were critical in the win yesterday. Critical. And including Odell Beckham, who they went and signed midseason.
Yep.
So, to me, that says your strategy is paying off. Like, you don't have any of those draft picks, but do they win that game yesterday without Stafford, Michelle, Ramsey?
No.
Who are we leaving out? I'm leaving one. Miller? Miller made
Miller
the key,
had a really good game.
Key play at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Von Miller, who hadn't done much all game, basically, you know, I was worried. I was texting you guys. I was worried about Justin Tucker. I thought if they got to the 50, Justin Tucker might do like some super kick and the Rams would lose because they only won 20-19.
But the defense stood up right there.
Well, Von Miller did.
Yeah.
When Von Miller came up with that sack, it basically, they had no timeouts left. So when Von Miller sacked him, there was like 25 seconds left. And when he did that, the Ravens didn't even have time. They had to get some more yards, and they didn't even have time to get Justin Tucker a chance because there was only 3 seconds left by the time they got back to the line of scrimmage, and so that was it. By the way, we haven't mentioned Antonio Brown. Do you feel sorry for him, or do you feel like he's an idiot?
I feel sorry for him.
Tell me if I'm – and maybe this is somewhat irresponsible of me because I'm not a doctor, but
yep.
I'm going to say it anyway because I think a lot of people are thinking it. There's been so much, and we used, when Marcellus worked with us, he talked openly about it. There's been so much written about CTE. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in football in Pittsburgh for years. And Macy was never a problem. Remember when he had Ben Roethlisberger
Le'Veon
Bell, all pro, hands down, best receiver in football, never an issue on or off the field, gets his bell rung several times late in his career with Pittsburgh and then that one stint he did with the Raiders. And now his behavior is, for lack of a better term, almost unexplainable, the stuff that he's doing.
Yeah.
And I, rather than pile on the guy, I'd like to see him get some help. I don't know if he has CTE or not, but it's sure possible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sure it's possible. I mean, I think at the very least you've got again, we're playing doctor. We probably shouldn't be doing this, but I think there's probably an untreated mental illness issue there.
And
I feel bad for the guy because he's blown himself up now in multiple situations where, I mean, Brady loved the guy. They supported him through that weird vaccination thing that he was involved in. They were like, we're sticking with him. We love this guy. And then he blows up yesterday. I think he's done in the NFL. I can't imagine anybody takes a role on Antonio Brown anymore. Can you imagine him on another team?
No.
After that?
No.
Now I think it's done.
And I've heard the argument, well, he's treated a lot of people lousy. Like he's been sued a lot by chefs and by drivers and by girlfriends. And you know,
just erratic behavior.
But I was just going to say, isn't it all connected? I mean,
yeah.
Look at his behavior in Pittsburgh. Never an issue. Or if it was, they kept it quiet. And now the guy can't keep a gig with that talent?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Maybe I'm being a sucker, but I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him too. And obviously, you know, you saw the press conferences with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Those guys are obviously very sympathetic as well. They love the guy, but you know he's just not controllable anymore, which is sad for him because he's been a great talent in the NFL. All right, coming up next for you, Kim Kardashian did something that I was once accused of.
Really?
Yeah. Plus, the show that if you're not watching, you got to start watching right away. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so what's up? It's a brand new year. We're off to a decent. I would say we're off to a decent. Well, I don't know. Are we off to a decent start?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, great start. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, Bergman and John are coming off COVID.
You know, I'm still in it technically, but I get to do the show from. I mean, I texted you this last night, Mace. I'm glad I get to do the show. You know, most guys can't do anything.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Everybody that's been like Michael was stuck in a hotel room for 6 days.
Yeah, so, that's brutal.
You know, I'm glad that wasn't me.
So over the holidays, Bergman, have you seen Spider-Man No Way Home?
It was incredible. One of the best Marvel movies there's been.
Agree.
Top five.
Agree. It was top five Marvel. Fantastic. Has great twists and stuff in it that I won't reveal, but Kim Kardashian did on Instagram.
Without revealing it,
I'll just say,
was her reveal, like, does it give away everything?
It gives away a big chunk of the movie, and I will not. She gave it away
You did the exact same thing for the Succession finale.
I did that with Succession, and I learned my lesson. I would never do that again. 10 days after the release of Spider-Man No Way Home, she revealed a big chunk of spoilers. She showcased a few pivotal moments from the highly anticipated sequel's climactic third act. Now, this, I think, is 10 days after the movie's release. It's done, what, $1 billion worldwide. Is it too soon to reveal something?
Yeah, I think probably in this day and age it is. Because I don't think you can go see Spider-Man. I mean, you can see Spider-Man at home, right? You got to go to a theater. Yeah, and people are, for whatever reason, hesitant to go. I know you're not, but others are.
Yeah.
And maybe even you are now. I don't know. But I think that you got to give people a month just because wait until it's available for home viewing, and then if you want to, you can throw it out there.
Well, it's the same thing that with your succession thing, Mace, where
yes.
what's the point of it? She's not going to talk to the people on it. She's not going to have a conversation about it on her Instagram with the people that
are
showing it to.
Yeah, at least you have that possibility.
Right. So what is the point of doing it besides spoiling it for people? Look at me. I saw it.
But what I did was kind of more – she gave away chunks of the movie. What I think my tweet was A2 Tom –
yeah, which gives that away.
Well, is that a bad giveaway?
Yes, because it means that Tom was the central figure. And so I would not want to know that.
Did I spoil it for people? I don't think I spoiled
it. I didn't see it. I don't go on Instagram, so I don't. Hey, by the way, I was figuring something out the other day. Did you guys know this? I was trying to figure out the answer, so I Googled it. Is there a way to know who's checking you out on Instagram? In other words, if they don't comment on your pictures or anything, mm-hmm. or if they don't engage you in some medium,
right?
Can you, like, is there a way you can know who's looking at your pictures?
Oh, yeah.
And they're
there's when somebody likes your thing, you can go see.
No, but let's say I don't like it. Let's say all I do, let's say you and I don't know each other.
Okay.
And I'm assuming your Instagram's public, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I go to your Instagram and I'm checking out pictures of you.
Yeah.
My question was, is there a way that you can know I was checking you out? And the answer is, scarily, is that a word? Yes. There's like third-party apps.
You can see when people scrolled through you?
Correct.
Get out of here.
You have to go to a third-party app, though. Instagram does not allow you to do it. But if you download a third-party app, you can see anyone who's checked you out.
So you can see your traffic, like who's on your page and whatnot?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I thought, oh, I got to be careful who I'm looking at. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go on Instagram a lot.
Well, no, but no, you. I mean, so what if you look at somebody?
But I mean, like, also, Kate Beckinsale is not going to go checking and seeing what John Ireland.
No, I'm not worried about that. But what I thought would be interesting is, you know, if there's like gossip going on, and I just think it's scary that somebody could know whether or not you're looking at them. But you have to jump through a lot of hoops. You got to jump through a lot of hoops to get there.
I only follow 159 people on Instagram. Maybe that's not enough.
I think I follow like 10.
Well, you don't do anything on there,
right? I never. I got on it because my niece wanted me to post some video, and that my son's on it, so I want to see what he's up to. But that's the only reason I really go. And then, by the way, I have three friends that like endlessly post stuff, and you're one of them.
You don't
post as much as you used to, but
I don't post.
I follow so few people that every third or fourth post is from you.
Okay, since I went on break, go back to before Christmas, I posted three things. My mom dressed as Mrs. Claus, one picture at the gym, and the gift that Leo got me for Christmas, which was the cannabis cookbook.
Right. That's not bad. I have one friend that posts, like, she's female. She posts 6-7 times a day.
Yeah, that's much. That's a lot. But I try to like everything. Like, you know who posts a lot is Chris Morales posts a lot. I like every one of his posts. I like seeing what Chris Morales is up to.
Do most of them have a cocktail?
No, a lot of them have a cigar, and a lot of them have golf.
Yep, I would think.
Those are his two jams. Now,
yeah, he's winning at life.
Morales sent me what I actually posted the day after Succession. And this is actually a terrible thing that I posted.
What did you write?
So
you
much worse.
Yeah, you didn't say A2 Tom. You said, well, I can't believe Tom is the guy who ends up.
No, it said, killer twist, Tom rats out Shiv, fire, fire, fire. What did you think of the Succession finale?
That's horrible. That's basically like yelling Spock dies at the end of the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that's a bad one. That's worse than Kim Kardashian.
We hammered you pretty good. You were, of course, off the day you did that. I think you posted that from vacation. And we just said, what kind of a person does this?
I just assumed everybody watched it on Sunday night.
Well, but people, like, I had a game. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, Ireland didn't watch it. So, I mean, he's not going to go
but
on
I
Instagram.
Didn't see I didn't see your Instagram. But Bergman tipped everyone off. He sent a text early in the morning saying, if you care about Succession, don't look at Mason's Instagram.
And I texted Mason right away. I was like, why are you doing this?
Take and I took down. It down right away.
Okay. And then posted it the next day.
So, let me get this in here. Mace.
Yeah.
Our fantasy football game this weekend means nothing because you lost and the eyebrow is coming off. You have no recourse now. You've guaranteed yourself last place.
One brow man.
How did this possibly happen? All you had to do was finish spots 1 through 11 in a 12-team league.
The guy yesterday against me, and we have a weird scoring system. Yeah. The guy scored 92 points. It's unbeatable.
Well, no, the guy that beat me scored like 95.
I'm trying to see who had most points scored against him.
Me. It's not even close. I'm going to finish middle of the pack. I had the worst luck you could possibly have, and I
yeah,
still
but it
finished.
Was I had 1,030 points scored against me. You had 1,043 points scored against
right.
you. So it was very close. Nobody else had 1,000 points scored against him.
Right.
We were extremely unlucky.
Yeah, but the difference is I finished in the middle of the pack because my team was still formidable, and you finished last for the fifth time in 6 years. With your eyebrow on the line. You had motivation to not finish last. How did this happen?
Hey, I was trying. Look at how many moves
I
made.
I think you made the second most moves in the whole league.
I mean, I was trying to pick up the hot guy every single week to try to turn this thing around, and I just couldn't do it. And then, I lost one game like 98, 96. It's like, my God.
Yep.
So here's the thing. I will do anything to keep this eyebrow.
Well, we haven't discussed it, the three of us.
No. Nope.
But I've decided that there is nothing I could offer you that I'd rather see than you losing the eyebrow. So I am punning to Greg and Jorge. If they want to come up with some type of a trade-off, I will leave it up to them. But I thought, would money? Nah. Yeah. Would you get a bucket of mayonnaise dumped on your head? Nah.
That's nothing.
I will pay you guys so I can keep my eyebrow.
Okay, all right.
I don't know if it's worth the money, though, John.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone has a price. Like, when you say you will pay us,
mm-hmm.
30 grand? 10 grand each?
Oh, come on, 10 grand each.
Well, ooh. So that's a no. Ooh. Right?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, look at those guys. They're like, oh yeah.
Well,
no.
I just
10 grand. I'm kind of in on the 10 grand.
Kinda.
Believe it or not, I think Mason might consider it. So that's our first offer. 10 grand each.
Yeah.
10
real
grand
cash
each.
Money.
Who do you think I am?
Right.
Rockefeller over here?
You know who yes. I think you are? Somebody that really wants to keep your eyes
You said anything, so hey.
Yeah. Anything has a price. So here that'll be
So what's your limit?
Mace, that'll be the offer for today. All right. So you come back tomorrow and give us an answer on that offer.
A counter offer.
You could try. Yeah, you could try and counter offer us, or you could just take it. Because we could always say off the table, but we'll give you a day. Come back tomorrow. What time is it right now? It is before 2:30.
Yep.
Tomorrow at this time.
Okay.
Greg, write this down. Let's
Got
bring it.
It
up again. Mason's response to our offer. Okay.
Of $10,000.
That's our our opening offer. 30K, 10 grand each.
10 grand each.
To keep your eyebrow.
Yeah,
which you said you would literally do anything to keep it. So
I was hoping you'd have me do something dumb that allows me to keep my eyebrow.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can counter it.
I'll make a counter.
Okay.
I'll make a counter.
There it is. Tomorrow at 2:30, make us a counter.
The one eyebrow is so important that it needs to be gigantic. It's not putting mayonnaise on your head.
No. Well, he knows. He
no, I realize the gravity of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a negotiation. This is how things get done. You ask for way more than you think you can get, and then you negotiate for whatever. And let's just make let's say by the end of the week, we either make an offer or you're shaving it off. Okay.
I love it.
Today's Monday. We'll do this by Friday. We got resolution. Do we all agree on that?
See.
Yes, okay. By Friday.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay. There it is.
Okay.
Our opening offer
continues.
Our opening offer, $30K.
All right. Coming up next for you. Hey, you know, more people watch bowl games than you think. I found an interesting statistic on this, which is fascinating. Plus, Dennis Dodd sucks. That's coming up,
the
too.
The college football reporter?
Yes, he sucks.
Okay.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, Matthew Stafford, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? What are you doing to us? That first, those turnovers. God. I have
hey, Mace.
Today. Yeah.
Why did you have so much confidence in Jared Goff for like 4 or 5 years, but it's not even a full season and you're out on Goff, on
Jared
Stafford?
Jared Goff took us to a Super Bowl. That's easy.
Right, and yeah, the expectations are higher with Stafford.
He took us to a Super Bowl the year after.
Did he?
He didn't.
He did.
No, one the, on the year road after in New Orleans. Went to the Super Bowl, he didn't. And then I gave up with, on him on season 5. So the fact that he got us to a Super Bowl was the whole thing. If Matthew Stafford gets us to a Super Bowl, he's golden for me.
Yes,
I want to be at that game at SoFi Stadium with the Rams playing.
I actually think Mason is a typical fan rather than an anomaly here. I think that most people are like you. They don't know what to think of Stafford because he's so good in the fourth quarter and so bad before it. And you know, it's got to be driving McVay crazy because you're a coach. What you want is consistency.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I think McVay is all about survive in advance. As long as they're winning, they're 12. But we're talking about them like they're an 8-18.
12 and 14.
They're 12 and 4.
12 and 4, yeah. I guess we are ingrates. All right, so the show, John, that you've got to get into that is Cobra Kai. It is so friggin' good. Now, nobody spoiled
what
this.
Network?
Netflix. The entire season dropped at once. So I'm about halfway through, and everybody's getting ready for the All-Valley tournament. I can say that much. And, Greg, you watched it in one day?
I watched the entire thing in one day. I was in protocol.
How many episodes
threw it on.
Is that?
10. Okay. Half an hour.
Half
35
an hour.
Minutes. Yeah. It's not that bad.
So, Bergman, what's your dojo? Eagle Fang, Miyagi-Do, or Cobra Kai?
Oh, see, I'm definitely I am Miyagi-Do. I think I need to be calm and play defense.
See,
even though I'm probably more Eagle Fang.
I think it looks way more fun to be Eagle Fang.
If you really want to learn karate, you need to be in Miyagi-Do. If you just want to fight.
Miyagi-Do is soft.
they win.
I know, but it's soft. Eagle Fang attacks a little bit. That's Johnny.
But playing no
Lawrence's
defense.
Dojo.
They play no
defense. It's all
defense.
It's all defense. Eh. Miyagi-Do is a little dull.
I'm all about the defense. Defense wins championships, Mace.
I hate this John Kreese and I hate this Terry guy who came along.
Yeah, well, they're from the original movies.
I know. It's amazing. They're taking all these people, John, who were actually in the original movie. They bring back this guy who was in the original movie to play a current-day character. And so it's got to be a kick for those people because all of a sudden they're reviving these characters that they had, what, 30 years ago? Has it been 30 years since Karate Kid? Probably.
Something like that.
Yeah, mid-80s.
Yeah, you gotta watch this thing. You got to watch. It's so much fun. And nobody spoil it on Twitter. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to send out an Instagram post after I watch the All-Valley Tournament. I'm not going to do that. So just go watch it. It's awesome.
All it is just a giant soap opera pretending to be about karate.
Correct. That's exactly what it is.
Hey,
with
did you
really
guys,
good characters.
Did you guys see the story I sent you this morning about the hockey story about the girl who's a med student? Have you heard about this?
Can we save that for three? Because I wanted to explain why Dennis Dodd sucks.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so everybody has seen this video by now. South Carolina won the Mayo Bowl.
Right.
And they actually took an entire, instead of throwing Gatorade, dumping Gatorade on Shane Beamer, the head coach at South Carolina, they poured this enormous tub of mayonnaise over his head, which is absolutely disgusting.
He had a hat on. That helped.
He did have a hat on. It did shield him a little bit. So here's what Dennis Dodd immediately tweeted. Dennis Dodge said, "My God, we've reached the point where hyping a condiment being poured on an adult male passes for programming. When we have the discussion about bowl relevance, I'll start right here." He's a fun killer. Dennis Dodd is a fun killer. I actually thought that was really entertaining. I didn't watch the game, but I saw the video. It went viral. To me, that's what bowl games should be. They should be fun. Otherwise, why watch them?
I don't understand. Like, did he never see Double Dare on Nickelodeon? I mean, that was the whole bit.
It was fun. It was fun. It was funny. It went viral, Dennis Dodd. Why are you such a fun killer?
Yeah, I don't get it. That was one of two things, two college football takes over the weekend that I didn't get. The other one was the Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard thing.
Oh, the Kirk Herbstreit.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I
saw
that.
Jorge, do we have that?
I think we do.
Okay, so this was Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard talking about how college players, Ohio State's two best receivers, opted out of the Rose Bowl because they're going in the NFL draft. And by the way, the two guys that replaced him were unbelievable.
Yeah, they were great.
They were the two greatest Rose Bowl wide receivers maybe ever. They were breaking all of Keyshawn's old records. But here's what – and I like Herbie and I like Dez. I like them both. But here's what they said about it.
Do you know him well enough to call him Herbie and Dez?
Yeah. We used to have him on – you don't remember? We used to have Desmond Howard on the show every week.
No clue. Yeah, you had no idea that we did.
I'm not surprised.
Wait a minute. You don't remember when we had Desmond Howard on the show every single week for 3 years?
I do not. That stuns me that happened.
And do you remember when we had Herbstreit on and I said, "You live in Ohio," and he cut me off? He goes, "I live in Nashville. What are you talking about?"
Nope.
You don't remember any. Yeah, you have smoked way too
much
weed.
We are in our 18th year of this show. Do you think I remember every guest that we ever had?
Okay, this clip I'm going to play.
Anyway, thanks to Dez and Herbie for coming on.
Yeah, happened like 2 days ago. So see if you remember this. Hit it already.
The amount of money, like, what's the difference as a player in saying these games are meaningless when Dez, we played in quote unquote meaningless games? I mean, I know you guys were here a lot, but I just don't understand. If you don't make it to the playoff, how is it meaningless to play football and compete? Isn't that what we do as football players? We compete. So I don't know if changing and expanding it is going to change anything. I really don't. I think this era of player just doesn't love football.
That's what I was about to say. We're dealing with a total different mentality when we're dealing with these student athletes nowadays, especially the football players. I mean, their whole mentality right now is about the championship, the playoff. We got to get into the CFB or the CFP. And because of that, they don't value the bowl games. Now, when we were coming up, Herbstreit and myself, like, to go to a bowl game was a huge reward for a fantastic season. That's what it meant. It's like, okay, your team played this well, so you're going to be rewarded by going to this bowl game. You're going to get a ring. You're going to get swag. Now, kids don't really care about that. They have a sense of entitlement. And it's like, if we're not going to the one that matters, then, you know, it just doesn't have as much value to them as it did us growing up.
I think
Of course it doesn't.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say to these kids, "We're going to have a playoff to determine a champion." And then to the lesser bowl games, and you know, I know that the name, image, and likeness stuff just started coming in, but most of these players don't make any money.
Yeah.
You can't say to these players, to Kenny Pickett, the quarterback at Pitt, or to those wide receivers at Ohio State that are all going to the NFL, you can't say because they make a business decision that they don't love football.
Right.
Sean McVay, Mace, doesn't play any Rams in the preseason. None.
Yep.
Zero. Do they not love football? What? They don't want to compete? Okay. According to what Herbie just said, because I like to compete, I should play whenever I get that opportunity, whether it's a bowl game, a preseason game, a week. This weekend in the NFL, this coming week after tonight, we're going to see a whole bunch. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play this weekend.
Right.
Should we criticize him and accuse him of not loving football?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a terrible take. Because first of all, college football has set this up at a zero sum game.
Of course.
It really
they
is
have.
Championship or bust. If you're in that, and that's why we've now reached a point where you've got to expand the playoff. Because if you're the 8 seed, you've got a chance. If you're the 7 seed, you've got a chance.
And, by the way, I believe that more kids would play if they had
absolutely
a chance.
Absolutely. If you got a chance,
if
they're
going
to play.
If Ohio State – by the way, the Rose Bowl was great. It was
insane.
It
was a great game.
But if Ohio State and Utah had a chance to win the national championship, of course those receivers would have played.
No question.
It'd be like an NCAA tournament game in basketball where everybody plays. But we've set it up that way. You know, and by the way, so Lincoln Riley leaves for a better job and just leaves Oklahoma hanging and says, screw you, I'm not going to coach the bowl game. Does he not love football? Are you willing to criticize him? I didn't hear him criticizing any coaches.
No.
It was incredibly unfair to criticize the players for that. And like I said,
completely agree.
I think Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard are great at their jobs, and I like watching them, and I'll continue to watch them.
Herbie and Des, used to have them on the show all the time.
Yeah, I think that take over the weekend was about as bad of a take as either one has ever had.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it was just bad.
All right, we got Jump Ball coming up next. Bergman's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. And we agreed that we're going to change that intro, right?
I thought it was not going to be heard in 2022.
Yeah, I thought we'd gotten rid of that. I thought we'd banish that intro, Greg.
I don't know why you guys don't like it. It is don't totally like it. Fine to me. All right.
Let's freshen things up.
All right, we'll talk about it. All right, so Kyle Kuzma did something you don't – okay, Kyle Kuzma did something you don't normally see on a basketball court last week. The Wizards were playing the Cavs, and Evan Mobley had just a ridiculous up-and-under layup. And as Mobley was running back to get on defense, Kuzma gave him a low five. Kind of hidden. After the game, Kuzma went on Twitter and quote-tweeted a video of it saying, "You damn right I'm going to dap him up. I just saw the closest thing to George Gervin in the flesh." What do you think of Kuz's dap to an opposing player in the middle of a game?
I do it in pickup games. If I'm playing against somebody and he makes a great move and scores, even if I'm guarding him, I'll go, "Nice shot, man," and stick out my hand.
You're playing at the same level as Kyle.
I was just
a little
say,
different.
At the NBA level, I'm trying to decide if that's admirable, that I don't think Kuz is trying any less hard to stop him. And I think it's kind of the world they live in now. All these guys know each other from AAU. And travel team ball, I'm not sure I have a problem with it. How about you?
I think it's soft. That's really a soft move. You know, you just played a game with this guy. There's no reason to pump him up when he does that on the floor in front of you. I think that's just a soft move.
Greg?
Yeah, I agree.
What do you mean? It's soft. What are you laughing at?
Because you call it soft. It was after the whole thing about how you don't call people soft, but it was great.
Never call anyone soft, except for Kyle.
I make an exception for this.
But anyway, yeah, it was soft though. I mean, that's not something you do. That's basically you're showing up your team because it was somebody else that they got that he did that up and under layup move on. That you're basically being like, "Oh, nice move on my guy." I don't know. I just don't like it.
It's like sending out a meme or a GIF where somebody dunks on one of your teammates.
Right.
It's like, yeah. I mean, it's like, no, he got posterized. You don't celebrate that.
No, I mean, it was a great move, but you can say to him after the game, like, "Hey, man, that was a really good move," but not in the middle of the game.
In 2022, I'm going to bring back the word soft.
Good.
You already did.
Yeah, I guess I did already.
All right, Jorge.
Slow I can't find the buzzer.
It's all good. So my brother and his wife are having a baby in about 2 months.
Oh, they don't, happy days.
Yes, they don't have a name for the baby yet, and also they don't listen to the show, so they're not going to hear any of this. But I wanted to get them a baby gift that is really special specifically for them.
I got
not just
it.
Something like a diaper genie.
Yeah,
so, okay,
yeah.
What is a good special gift idea for them?
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Actually, it doesn't matter. Same okay. Gift applies. Air Jordans.
So they wear them baby, one time.
Baby Jordans. Air Jordans. Yeah. They will talk about it. For the rest of your lives. Baby Air Jordans. Mace, you can't beat that.
Yes, I can, John. There's one gift that people love more than any other.
Cash?
Straight cash money. I would take the money that you're going to spend on a diaper genie, and I would just write a check and say, congratulations, spend this however you want.
I actually don't disagree with Mason here. You know what I gave my groomsman as a groomsman gift? I gave him all a money clip with $100 in it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You can never go wrong giving cash.
No, that's what I got my mom for Christmas. I got my mom a check.
Mace, did
and
you
she
buy?
She was thrilled. It was her favorite gift.
For Lindsay Theory's wedding, did you buy something off the registry or give her cash?
Give her cash.
See, I gave her something off her registry, and I thought, you know, I should have given her cash.
Let's take cash money.
Let's have her on one day and ask her which gift she liked more. And I bet
let's do that.
I bet you her answer will be Mason's.
Let's do that tomorrow.
All right, I'll try and get her.
We can also talk about me losing faith in Matthew Stafford.
Right.
Ooh, yeah. I like it. But he makes way more money than I do. So he doesn't need my money. Like, I want to actually get them a special gift, something that they're going to look back on for their entire lives and the baby.
Spoon or something like
that. But no, that's not special.
No. Okay, let's see. It's a girl.
Yes, it's
you
a girl.
You want to get a memorable gift.
How about a bucket of pink paint so they can paint the baby?
It's not a bad idea.
All right, Greg, I've thought now. I've reconsidered. I've thought hard about this now.
Okay.
Pink Air Jordans. All right. That will be a very heartfelt gift.
Oh, jeez. All right.
How
you
about
guys
one
got
of them
nothing.
Things that spin around above her head?
A mobile?
Yeah, a mobile.
You know, these cost about $8.
Yeah, get her but a clever mobile with like really cool stuff, like sports stuff. No, I guess that's
so. All I'm learning here is you guys are no help whatsoever. So,
wait, the gift was for them, right? For your brother and his
yeah, wife. For them or for the baby. You know, something that can go for all of them. Yeah, you got a good idea, Jorge?
No, I don't, because I never got anything for me or Brenda. It was all for the baby.
They actually sell a Dodgers themed mobile.
Yeah,
it's
how
like
much?
$5.
What's it cost?
Let's see. It costs.
I bet you it's less than $20.
Well, the guy apparently has everything. $26, $26.99.
Not a bold enough gift.
But it's cool. No. It's got like Dodgers jerseys,
pink baby
and a
Air Jordans,
hat.
Like $200. That's what you need.
And then some cash.
She'll wear them one time, and then her feet will grow too big, and she can never wear them again.
That's true. Right,
no, that would be the case if you bought big baller brand shoes.
They
Air Jordans
fit
are
from
good.
The start.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Hey, you found the buzzer.
Okay, so we talked about condiments. So what is your least favorite condiment? And if that happened to be a bowl that you were coaching on and you won, what condiment would fall on your head?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So wait, are those two different questions or the same one?
Oh, the same one. So what is your least favorite condiment? And if that happened to be the bowl you're playing in, what is going to get poured on you?
I don't even know if this counts as a condiment, but Mason says he likes them, which I don't believe.
Uh-huh.
Is anchovies a condiment?
Delicious.
We can make a condiment bowl.
No.
Yes, delicious.
That's a fish.
Yeah, but don't people use it as a condiment? Don't people like put it on pizza?
You don't dip it in the anchovy.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's
a condiment.
Kind of a condiment.
No, yeah, you don't exactly. dip the pizza in the anchovy.
You're right.
I generally really love condiments.
A condiment, Greg, is something that is on top of something else.
Ketchup, ranch.
Right,
ketchup.
Like anything.
Ranch,
salt and pepper is a condiment.
Hot sauce.
Yes.
Right. Jalapenos, are they a condiment?
Jalapenos are a condiment.
Nachos, yes.
Very rarely would you eat just a jalapeno. I guess you could.
Jalapeno poppers, maybe.
Jalapeno. I guess I would say, God, I like condiments. I've got...
What's your least
relish?
Favorite one?
Relish is probably my least favorite condiment.
Oh, yeah.
Relish, I don't put on hot dogs.
Do you put onions on stuff?
Onions, I love. Love okay. onions on onions and mustard on a hot dog. But no, I guess it would be relish. I'm not a big... I think relish seems unnecessary. Why not just put a pickle there?
Right? Pickle is a condiment.
Why have relish when you can have a pickle?
It's true. Well, relish might be a little easier to digest. I mean, if you're eating a hot dog and you throw a pickle on top of it, that's stupid.
And getting a bucket full of relish dumped on you is probably not a lot of fun. I actually think mayo is the worst one. I love mayo, but
it's really bad.
But did you see the video?
Oh, yeah.
He had a very strategically placed baseball hat on.
He did. It really didn't go on his head.
It didn't go in his eyes or in his nose or mouth. It just kind of the hat covered him up.
But mayo, I think, is the grossest one. But I would say my least favorite condiment is relish because I have pickles instead.
Okay.
All right, so one thing that hasn't been talked about with the Rams-Ravens game yesterday, according to Sam Farmer of the LA Times, Ravens wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown used to be a ride operator at Magic Mountain.
Wow.
But he's afraid of roller coasters. So what is the strangest job that you have had before finding your calling on the radio?
Strangest job. Well, my grossest job was I was a dishwasher at a restaurant. That was my first job out of high school. Was I was washing dishes in the back, and that can be pretty disgusting. But because I was back there for 5 or 6 hours, but I can't think of anything I've had that was like super unusual.
I was a PA on a movie called Monkey Shines in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My job was basically to pick up all the trash that the gaffer and the sound guy and all those guys put it. It was just picking up trash for the most part. That was probably my grossest job. I also was a telephone solicitor, which was an awful job.
Okay. I want you to, you're calling me and, I'll answer the phone. Okay. Ready?
Okay. Ready.
Hello.
Hi, this is Steve from the Key Corporation. I was wondering what type of material you have on the outside of your home.
Steve, how'd you get this number?
Well, we're trying to find customers who would be in need of
right.
a brand new.
Yeah, my number's not listed. Why are you bothering me during Monday Night Football?
Let me ask you about your sidewalks.
I don't care about my sidewalks. Why are you calling me? You're interrupting my dinner.
If you're going to hang up on me, just do it, because that's what most people do.
I'm laughing.
Literally, like, five.
I lasted longer than most callers.
5 out of every 6 people hung up on you.
Jeez.
Oh, it was your success rate. You were batting like 199.
Yeah, but so when you got a hit, you were ecstatic, right? Because you were totally expecting to get rejected.
When I got the siding sold, oh, my God. And that really was the pitch. What type of material do you have on the outside of your home? Brick. Oh, well.
Your pause after he answered was so long. You didn't know where to go after that.
Yeah, that was the pit. You read it off a script. They wrote it down for you. Here's exactly what you say.
So one time when Dave Singer was producing the show, Greg, this question came up.
Okay.
And he said that at one point of his career, Dave used to produce our show, and now he's running the NFL Network. He's like in charge of the whole network. Dave sold beauty makeovers in Spanish.
What?
Exactly what I said. So I said, what do you mean you sold beauty makeovers
in Spanish? And Dave only had a loose
Spanish.
Understanding of Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, like, try and do this to me. And he barely spoke Spanish at all.
Oh, man, that's even worse.
Yeah, but they needed somebody who was willing to – they asked him, do you speak Spanish? He said, sure. So they gave him the gig, and I don't think anyone ever took him up on it, but he had the gig for like 2 months selling beauty makeovers in Spanish. Didn't sell any of them, but apparently the expectation was so low it didn't matter.
Well, we were the next hire. He came from Beauty Makeovers to our show.
Yeah, that back then, that's how in demand we were.
Bergman, what about you? Do you ever have a really crappy job?
No, I did something like you. I sold refinancing of your student loans.
Ugh.
So I'd call people and do basically the same thing. I did that. I worked at a law office, like just transcribing a lawyer's whatever he was saying to people. It was weird. It was awful. That's about it. Nothing too crazy. Jorge, have you done anything?
I used to work at an FDA plant, or is it an FDA plant where they cut chicken and like the leg and the thigh, they would put in separate bins and had to like take the chicken and the skin.
Yeah, that's a long day, man.
That was awful. A punishment though. Like I wasn't having, one of my uncles wasn't having it with me and stuff like that. And I was going through this period, you know, you're like 19, 20.
It's like, you're going to earn your money.
And my mom was like, either you teach him a lesson or I'm going to do it. And my uncle's like, you know what? You're going to come work with me and this and this. And he took me in. I lasted 2 months, man.
But it probably scared you straight, right?
Oh, dude, for sure. For sure.
Hey, Bergman, how about a
USDA
doll
plan,
wearing Dodgers stuff?
That's not terrible.
How much does that cost?
$25 on the nose.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, not enough. Not a big enough statement.
Well, how much are you looking to
spend? It's my brother.
I can figure this out.
Well, it's my brother, so I want it to be something nice. The money is not Greg, especially after you give me $10,000.
I was going to say, once Mason gives you the $10,000, you'll have a lot. You can go big, and you can buy him a Tesla. Come on,
exactly. So help me out, Mace. We can do it more tomorrow.
You know what, Greg? You know what's going to help? What? Get him an extra car seat. That way, they don't have to be switching from car seat.
I think. Yeah, I think they already got.
I don't know.
Two
that
of
sounds
those.
Too technical.
No, they did that to us. They gave us two car seats.
What about a stuffed animal? I got a bunch of them. Fredo loves stuffed animals.
So you want to give her a used stuffed animal?
Yeah,
is what you're
Fredo
advocating.
Has so many stuffed animals. There are probably 100 stuffed animals in the house.
Yeah, I don't think a used stuffed animal during COVID is the smartest thing for a baby.
Especially stuffed Fredo's. Animals are underrated.
Yes, they're also unsanitary. is my point.
All right, that'll do it. We got to wrap.
All right, there, got to wrap. All right, coming up next, Rams win yesterday. It was the most aggravating win of the year.
A win is a win. What happened to that?
Lakers all of a sudden seem like they're putting something together. We got that coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.